I want to just share with you the motivation to do what we do. You know, this is a missions conference. We sing about sharing the gospel, spreading the word. Of course, this ministry is a tremendous opportunity. And we've been doing it since 07. We missed a year when COVID, but other than that, we've been doing it every year. About 14, 15 events. Summer fairs. The one we're doing now started last Friday and it'll end this Sunday. You want to know what goes on there. Is it really, can you really talk to that many people? Or they, what happens when you talk to people? I want to give you some examples that makes it down home so you can know what's going on. We know that we're out there spreading the word. You know, some seeds falling on good ground, some's falling on the thorny ground, the rocky ground, and the wayside. But sometimes it hits the heart. I got one fresh on my mind from last night. I was out there last night about 10 o'clock. And a couple came by. I just want you to, if you can follow with me. His name was Zach. And he kept interrupting me a little bit. So how can these people that say they're saved, how can they keep on sinning? Good question. And I said, well, let me give me some time. Let me finish it. So I got down to, if y'all know the Romans road, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead. It says, thou shalt be saved. And I emphasize, it's got to be from the heart. We don't know who goes to that altar and gets saved. Only God knows. Only the heart, because he sees the heart. We don't see it. And we don't know in our booth. We give a clear presentation. And I clearly say, that's prayer does not save. It's believing in your heart and meaning it with all your heart. It's no prayer that saves. It's what God's doing in your heart that counts. And I tell them this, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saving such as be of a contrite spirit. If you go to the altar and say, Lord, I want to go to heaven, but I still want to live like the devil. This is an extreme example. You don't get saved. You got to go there with a contrite heart. I like that parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee, if you know the, I'm sure pastors talked about it. The Pharisee was self-righteous. And he even put that publican down. I said, I'm not like this publican. But Jesus said, and the publicans, he wouldn't even take his eyes up to heaven. He beat upon his breast. He looked downward. He was so humble. And God said, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. So we know what God sees. And we try to present it as good as possible. And I had some last night that didn't listen very well. I talked to people. And I just gave them a little smile and said goodbye. Have a good night. You know, we're not out there so they'll pray. And we can, oh, I got four tonight. We're out there for it to be real in their heart. Well, that guy that I was telling you about that kept interrupting me, I told him it had to be from the heart. If it was from the heart, we're not perfect. We'll sin some more, but we'll be trying to do right. There's a difference. And I quote, and y'all know this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I quote that to him. I says, if it was real, you won't be the same. But if you didn't mean it, you won't even remember you came by the booth. Try to let them know. It's got to be real. Because we know some, it's not real. We know that. We don't understand. But that guy, I explained that from the heart, and he got it. Amen. And he prayed to be saved, and he wrote on the back of our, we get him to fill out a little contact card, and we ask him to write something on the back so we can be confirmed that they understood what we told them and what they did. And he wrote on the back, he said, I got saved, and he put a little smiley face. Amen. With an exclamation point. And that was last night. That was 24 hours ago. So I want you to know what we do is fun. Now, I was going to talk about an example from the Bible, and I could. Now, Jesus called some fishermen. He called Peter and Andrew, James and John, and they were fishermen. And I'm going to turn to Matthew 4, and where Jesus called them, and I'm. Matthew 4:18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I thought about fishing. When I'm out there in the booth, I think about fishing. I'm out, because the people are walking by, and I'm trying to page them, so to speak. What we say is, have you seen three things God cannot do? Or can I ask you this question? Are you 50, 75, 100% sure you're going to? As they walk by, and some will stop and listen, and some won't. But I'm fishing. I don't know if we got any fishermen in here. We probably do. And those people that go fishing for fish, they love it. You get up at 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever, 4 o'clock in the morning, and drive 2 hours to get to a place, because you know they're going to be catching there. You got to love it. And sometimes it's cold. But if we could transfer that kind of love to fishing for souls. And if you go fishing for fish, there's some cost involved. So if you're really serious. And I got some stories to tell. I mean, I grew up and my daddy loved it. He got a boat and he had a motor and all the equipment, tackle and bait. And the rods and reels. And I can remember, he loved it more than I did. I'll be honest with you. And I hate to tell you this. I love my daddy. I did love my daddy. He's with the Lord. I'm trusting he was the Lord. But one time, I loved it more when I was younger. But when I got to be about 15, one time I went with him. And we got up and went fishing. And this is before the time changes. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, 3 mornings in a row, and we were out there fishing. I didn't love it that much, but I went. But he loved it. But there's some cost involved. Well, there's cost involved in soul winning. You know, it takes time. And if you're going to be a good fisherman for fish, you learn. You read about it. Maybe you watch some fishing on TV or whatever. But you learn about how to fish, and you talk to your friends or your family that likes fishing, and see how their techniques. You learn techniques. Well, it's the same with soul winning. You have to do some preparation. You have to learn some techniques. You need to know the scriptures. It's so much easier to know them than to have to thumb through the Bible to find them. And in our booth, we do have them tabbed, so it makes it easier, but it's good to know them. And you learn from practice. Even fishing for fish, you learn from practice. Now sometimes at the fair, I'll be out there for three or four hours and hardly nothing. And then I could say, it'd be like somebody fishing at a certain pond or river and saying, well, you know, I didn't catch anything today. But I've used to catch stuff there. Are they going to quit going there? No, probably not. They're going to go back. So the next day, I'll go back to the fair, and they're biting, so to speak. It's amazing. Now, when you're catching a fish, there's a thrill involved. It's fun. Now, my daddy used to go. He loved it. And I can remember one time, we were way down the river, and we caught an offshoot, and it was a place, kind of a stream off there, and it was roots and all kind of stuff. You know, when you go out into that kind of environment, you got to deal with that. When he threw out and the men know what a popping bug is. You know, it floats on the water. It's got a hook in it, but it was like a bug, and you wiggle it on the water, and the fish can't stand it because it looks like the bug's trying to get away. And he caught one fish.
Anyone? I'm not talking about a bass. If y'all know what a blue brim is, it was the biggest blue brim I'd ever seen. It was so blue. And it would tickle my daddy to death to catch that thing. He loved it. And it was a thrill. I want you to know there's a thrill in winning somebody to the Lord. When that guy prayed with me last night, that was a thrill. It was worth going out there and spending 5 hours and coming home, getting home about 20 after 15 after 10 or so. It was worth it because that guy prayed to me, said, and we went back and forth on this being sure so much. If he wasn't sure, he was surely fooling me. I mean, we went back and forth on it because he was wanting to know you about that heart being right. I told him you had the heart by to be right. And that was fun. That was really fun. Now I'm going to share another little illustration that happened in Tennessee a few weeks ago. In August, we went to the Appalachian Fair, and we've been going. Brother Norton, the guy that got us in the ministry, he's with the Lord now, but he'd been going there several years, and then in 07, so he took us. So we went there too. Well, the other day, about a month ago in August, we were doing that fair. It was the last day of the fair. And me and Ben, that's the other missionary that's actually working the boot now for us in Aiken, South Carolina. Me and him went out there to work early. There was a couple of ladies that from the church there, that church which we have a church there in Gray, Tennessee, that does supply workers, and they were out there. And we knew one of them had never worked the booth, and one of them hadn't worked in service. Well, we don't just say, good luck. That's in case we come back and y'all want to help us next year, we don't say, well, good luck. Hope y'all have a good day out there. We don't do that thing. We train you. We show you. Let us watch what we do. And so I was trying to go over. We have a little paperwork we fill out and stuff. And Brother Ben was at the counter, and he was trying to appeal to people as they were walking by. So I was occupied with them. And I just kind of got through with them, and he got a lady back. Her name was Bobby. He said she was like a sponge, soaking up the word like a sponge. He said he hadn't ever had one any better than that. And you can look in her eyes. A lot of times they'll get tears in her eyes, and you just feel good about it. Only God knows the heart. Well, that didn't. What the amazing thing about this one is that was just the first, act or part one. About two hours later, that was 10 o'clock in the morning, about 12 o'clock, me and Ben, we had got them ladies going, and we let them work the booth, and we went on, because we were working later, so we were away from the booth. Well, the next couple that came in was there. Well, Bobby's daughter came in. She says, I want to hear what you told my mama about who how to be sure you're going to heaven. That was 2 hours later. And guess what? That lady, her name was Jackie. She prayed to be saved. Amen. And then they don't stop there. That's part two. And about 2 hours later, about 4 o'clock, that girl's sister came in. And she wanted to know what you told her sister about how to get to heaven. Amen. And she prayed. Amen. And that's still, we've got one more. That sister, that daughter's fiance, Patrick, came in, and my wife, Debbie, he wanted to know he wanted to be sure he was going to heaven. Amen. Now, I admit we've never seen anything like that before. Four people, and the last three came intentionally to the booth. Not that we're walking by and we tried to page them, but they came intentionally to see what we could share with them how to go to heaven. So we have some exciting things happen like that. You know, it's kind of like God threw, you know, you go fishing in a boat, it's kind of like God threw them in the boat. Kind of like the fish jumping in the boat, you know, when they do that. And we have some, and I can tell you those things, But it's a thrill every time you do it. But I can remember another one at that fair years ago, and this was interesting. And there was the church had a also had a booth at the fair, and it was right down the aisle from us, about towards the end of the aisle, and we were, of course, at the front. And they were basically advertising their church. They weren't soul winning. And so people out there that were giving up brochures or whatever about their truck wasn't necessarily ready. Well, a guy came by there wanting to know how to be saved. And they said, well, there's a booth right down the aisle here. If you go right down the aisle, they can show you how to be saved. But I ain't pretty much critical of them. But if somebody like that would approach you, don't you want to be ready? You don't want to say, well, I can invite you to church. My pastor can show you. But don't you want you being ready to do it yourself? You see? And I came down there, and it was crazy. It was crazy. He came down there. I came up the aisle. And the way he put it was kind of off a little bit. He said, I want to be saved again. But really, we're only saved once. But maybe what he thought he got saved wasn't real. And I said, come on back here. We didn't have to worry about the doors, three things God cannot do. We didn't have to worry about asking the question. We just had to get him back, sit down, and share the Bible, share the truth with him, how to get to heaven. And that was a thrill. But there is some cost. There's time. There has to be motivation. There has to be motivation. And when you go fishing for fish, you have to know how to fish. And when you go fishing for souls, you got to know how to fish for souls. So you have to be prepared. There's a verse in the Bible, 1 Peter 3:15 and 16, where it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we know God, the Bible tells us we should be ready. We have to be ready. We're not going to win souls if we're not ready. And if they come to our doorstep and tell you, ask you how you can be saved? You got to be ready. It's helped me in the past. Like I said, through the ministries we're involved with, and I went to another ministry there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, before we moved to Asheville area. Operation Go, it was a soul winning ministry. And again, I had to go out, knock on doors, and you had to know, and they wanted you to memorize scripture. So it was reinforcement. I've been reinforced many times over the years to get to the point where I am now, that I can share the scriptures without thinking about them because they've been doing it so much, so long, so many opportunities. And you run into different situations, but those of you that you, most people don't know much. They really don't. And when you start trying to share the scriptures, they'll listen. It's amazing. It's amazing. And all you have to do is read the Bible to them. You don't have to know much. You don't have to explain it. Just read it. Really. That's all you have to do. Let's see. Well, we got examples, and I don't want to take too long. It's about time. Examples in the Bible, and you can. And if you read through Acts, you can read about examples. I like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I like Peter when he went to talk to Cornelius and his friends. They had to be ready. And I like what the Bible says, especially Cornelius. It says he preached Jesus unto them. All you have to know is preach Jesus. The death, burial, and resurrection is all you have to know. And preach it to them. But if anything that I want to leave with you tonight is search your heart about your motivation. We've got to want to do it. You can learn all about this stuff and you can read about it and you can come to church, but if you don't go, then you're not going to win any souls. They're not going to come to you. You know, one of my friends said, you can't catch a fish off the porch. You know, you got to go to the river or where the pond or the stream or wherever they are. So you got to go where they are and you need to be prepared. And I know pastors talks about giving out gospel tracts. If you don't have any tracks with you, you're not going to give any out. So you got to take some with you. If you go to Walmart or wherever, go through the drive-thru or go out to eat and want to give one to the waitress or waiter, you got to. So I'm just trying to motivate us to do it. We know and we hear it. You've got good pastor here, preaches the gospel clearly. And most people we talk to don't understand it that clearly, a lot of them. It was interesting last night because that guy had, he had some, and he was so interested in it, and it made it so exciting. I want you to know this can be exciting. But another night I might go out there and not get anything. But you don't quit. You go to next night. You go to just like and there's stuff, a lot of stuff, hobbies that people do. Ladies, a lot of ladies like to sew, and a lot of people like gardening. And you do that because you want to do it. It's fun. You enjoy it. Well, I want you to know you can enjoy soul winning. It can be fun, but you got to just ask God to give you a heart for souls and the motivation and desire to go do it. And I'm sure Pastor can help you with how to train you. I'm sure he can help you with that. And the verses, he could help you know what verses you need to know. And just do it. And you won't never regret it. There's no greater joy than having us winning a soul to the Lord. No greater joy. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come here. Thank you, Pastor Bray and the Calvary, letting me come and speak about what we do. And we do want to come back here hopefully next year and go through the more of the nuts and bolts of what happens at the booth. And hopefully there will be some here that will come help us and work a shift. But before then, there's going to be opportunities out and about as we live our daily life where we might have an opportunity. But we have to be ready. And we have to have the gospel tracts or whatever to give out. Just help us to be better prepared. So as we go forward, we'll be more soul conscious as we go about in our everyday life. And that as you may give us opportunities, we can hopefully, it could be a family member, it could be anybody, we might have an opportunity to tell them how to get to heaven through Jesus, to put their faith in him. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.